So calling to order the meeting of the Historic Review Board, Tuesday, 19th of June, 2018, 7:06 p.m. Can we do an attendance roll call for our work session?
Yeah. So, Jennifer Arnold, staff.
Christine Lewis.
Jerry Offer.
Troy Inman.
Tom Neff.
Fantastic, thank you. First order of business is we have two sets of meeting notes to approve, January 23rd and April 17th.
So, January 23rd meeting notes were part of the packet a long time ago, but this basically covers the last hearing we did. So a lot of the information is basically out of the final decision and order that was signed for the last hearing. We didn't have any audio or video or any sort of technology to back up this meeting. So if you guys notice anything reflected differently, just let me know.
Anybody notice any discrepancies from their memory?
No.
Okay, great. Can we move on to the next one so we could maybe have a motion to approve both of them at the same time?
Sure. So this was from the last meeting. We didn't have a quorum at the start, and then at the end, I believe we lost the quorum. And so we just had some general discussion. We had the presentation for the first draft presented to you by the consultant, and then we had the presentation by the Methodist Church, and then some general code discussion of take this home and look at it.
I think the only thing I would change is that I didn't adjourn the meeting. I had to leave early. So I don't know who adjourned the meeting.
Okay.
Do we have enough people to approve the January meeting minutes if several of us were recused for the hearing portion of the meeting?
Mm-hmm. We can still vote on it because we were there for the last part of the meeting.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then you can also approve the other ones with the change for the person who actually adjourned the meeting. And I can listen to the tape and get the name.
Okay.
But that's up to you.
Is there a motion?
Not yet.
I will move then that we approve the January 23rd, 2018 minutes as presented and approve the April 17 meeting notes as presented with the one change of who adjourned the meeting.
A second.
Great. Discussion?
I don't know if we need to split it. I wasn't at the April meeting, so I can't vote on that
problem.
One.
Okay.
Let me just say yes, abstain, real quick.
If we have.
So if it's a. If we're joining them together, I'd have to abstain. If we do them separately, I guess I can vote on the first one, but I have to abstain on the April meeting.
Okay.
So we didn't have a full quorum for the entire meeting, so that under that logic, we would never approve those minutes.
Yeah, you can approve minutes you weren't here for, I think.
You just would have to the tape.
That said, it sounds like maybe... Let's just call the...
Okay.
Those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Those abstaining?
Abstain. Yeah.
202. Let's try again just for the January 23rd.
Okay.
And we'll deal with the 17th if Danny gets here or at a later date.
Okay.
So I will move to approve the minutes from January 23, 2018 as presented.
Sorry?
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I will abstain.
Okay.
4-3-0-1. And so we'll deal with the 17th again if we get another member who was present at that meeting. So now we are to public comments. Do you have any?
I'm just a fly on the wall.
Well, thanks for being here. So with no public comments, we'll move on to the business meeting. We have two things on our agenda. One is the presentation of our new walking tour map, and then we will do a discussion of code and possible code amendments. But let's start with our walking tour.
Okay, so I printed out the map and put it in front of you. This was the result of discussion after the consultant was here at the April meeting and presented a different version, a much different version. And after a lot of discussion and recommendations, this is what has come out of it. We have two different routes, so this is only focusing on the historic district, not the district outside of that. And I do believe there is a whole coalition of people working on a much more intense and larger walking tour map with a whole separate grant process. But we did two tours depending on the type of architecture you're interested in. And both of these tours are designed that for somebody to do on their lunch hour. Given the topography and the cluster of certain styles, they made these routes. And then they color-coded each route. And since there are a lot more significant houses than what fits in this tight little bubble of the two walking tour maps, or walking tour routes, we have numbers for each of the other significant houses. I did meet with Jody Carson this morning, and she did point out some errors. So, like number 24 needs to be removed due to modifications on the house. It no longer looks like the house that was in the original walking tour. And then we will have a write-up, which I have not been able to finish yet, a little description of each stop on each of the tours with the other numbers and a little brief description of those locations as well. So I think Danny was a lot of help at the last meeting when we were going over some of these things. We changed a lot of the numbers and a lot of the stops based on his suggestions, given a lot of your knowledge from the area. And we're not doing one portion of the grant process because we missed the deadline to submit for reimbursement. So we have a little bit of extra money that we can make some minor changes, like if we need to delete a number and then renumber something, we can do that. But we can't really do anything as far as colors and routes at this time, because that's just going to be too much money, because the city doesn't actually own any of the data for this map. We have each layer, but this particular map was made by the consultant, so the consultant's the only one that can change it. And they're not going to change it unless we pay them. And so there was a minor section in the contract that says if we have changes that we'd like to see after we call it good and done, then we can go back, but it's at a higher rate, which is why we can only do it at a minor change, because we weren't anticipating having to do that at all. So,
what's the significance of the letters versus the numbers?
The letters are the routes, and the numbers are just other significant houses in the neighborhood that have, they were previously on walking tour maps, and we've got information on them, and it gives the walking tour a little bit more substance than going down one street just to see the one house at the very end. The more comprehensive map that Jody's working on with a number of other people will have trees on it, and it goes beyond the historic district. It looks at Main Street. Little Cooperstown is the beginning of one of the tours, and that also has a sign on the side with information, and we will also have this map put in there and a QR code to get to the city's website so you can pull it up on your phone and walk around, because the purpose of this map is to be online rather than printed. Any other thoughts about it?
So the online map will have addresses rather than numbers or letters?
It'll have the numbers and letters, because that tells you where your stops are.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll have more information, like a little blurb about each house that's on your route.
Okay.
I see a couple of errors, and so I'm wondering what kind of blurb they might have, but 10 and 16 are both 1980s houses.
Okay.
Or 16 is probably a 1990s house.
Yeah.
And Troy.
And wouldn't the one to the west of 16 be old enough?
I mean, that it may be just that they placed the dot at the wrong place, but we can...
The one to the west of 16, those are both 1990s.
Oh, okay.
That's the location of the old bus barn that was there when I moved in 89, so it was probably 92 or 93 that those houses were built.
And the blurb associated with those could be the property. The reason that it was on there, yeah, was that the property itself was significant enough, and that's why they included it. They did the same thing with where the church is at the corner of 12th and Willamette, and then they removed it because they were only focusing on what was in the district.
This is minor, but I and J, I mean, I'm getting old, I can't tell the difference between the two. And the font that was chosen in the letters.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe online it might be easier to read, but... I got glasses on, too, I know, exactly. I'm like, yeah.
Mine on top of yours? No, it is pretty pretty close.
J, I would agree. Number five, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah. That's J, right?
It starts to curve, and then it gets away.
It's just a font option. Maybe online it'd be easier to read.
You will be able to like zoom in.
That's
and
what I was thinking. Yeah, you can
go. Yeah.
It doesn't work on the paper.
Right. And we own the blurbs, so if there's any issues with the blurbs, we're not paying by the second
right.
to fix them.
Yeah, okay. And that's all the staff contribution match.
Okay.
I'm taking most of the information that was already in the previous walking tour maps, not verbatim, but at least getting the house style and age. And then if there are particular stories associated with those houses, we're going to refer them to a separate page. so that we're not taking up the whole walking tour map with the story, and then we'll have a whole page of stories from various residents that lived in the district, because we have a lot of them.
Great.
Just for a graphic editing thing, there's a the arrow on 6th Avenue at 13th, it looks like it's like in the middle of the road, it's not connected to the tour.
Yeah.
Unless we're supposed to, it's like a road arrow or something.
No, it looks like it. They moved the line and they didn't move the arrow.
They should fix that.
At no cost.
Yeah.
They don't give you any kind of like, you get like 3 changes before it's charged. They didn't do anything like this?
Nope. It's just based on the hour of work.
Huh. Well, no candy for them.
So when we write up the blurb thing, you can still mention F on the green tour because it's still visible from it. So.
Yep. Everything is going to be listed, and then they can scroll along with the tour.
It's only fun.
And then, theoretically, once this is all done, and Jody's working on her stuff, then her and I, and we're going to invite you guys, and it'll be at like a lunchtime, if depending on availability. We're going to walk at least one of the tours and see how long it takes and what all you see and how well everything's working before it goes live on the website.
Sounds
like,
good.
Like in the next few weeks or
I'm thinking it's probably going to be in August when nobody wants to walk around outside.
So it'll be fun.
Yeah.
Make a nice hot day.
I'll drive it.
Yeah.
End up at my house, we'll have lemonade.
There we go.
How much will lemonade be a cup?
Free of charge. You can tip my daughters.
How did it work out working with this consultant?
Pretty well. They were very responsive, and they asked me to come to the last meeting instead of me trying to coordinate a time, so that worked out really well. It wasn't a time that she was already going to McMinnville, so she just drove down for the evening and then I guess went back up there after the meeting or stayed nearby. I'm not really sure. It's a pretty long drive.
Will we have some way of monitoring how many hits this gets?
On the website, I think we can do that with, I can work with IT to do that. I know that nobody was using the other one on the website because you couldn't find it. And I had it put on the historic page on the website, but I have no idea how many people have used it. I know every time you edit it, it's tracked. But we're thinking about doing a pop-up on the city's website. So as soon as you open up the city's website, a thing will come up and annoy you to say, check out the walking tour, and then have a direct link, and it'll go to that page, and it'll have historic Willamette area info, the stories, the pictures, the map, and all of that. So we're thinking about doing something like that. And I think you can track how many times that pop-up is used.
Because it'd be interesting to see how much this is actually used, and I mean, each time it's looked at is not necessarily when it's actually used, but it'd be interesting to know.
Yeah.
Well, it looks good, minus the errant arrow and I guess the questions around 10, 16, and 24. So.
Okay.
How long do you have before you need to get back to them with all the edits?
I would need to send them an email this week and then theoretically have it back, because we have to report to SHPO that the map part is done and request funds before July 1st.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So if any of us wake up in the middle of the night, like, we could still email you by, like, 10 a.m. tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay. Or if we want to go drive it or walk it tonight?
Yeah. I was originally going to be off tomorrow, but then I figured if anything comes out of tonight's meeting, I probably should be here. So I decided to change plans, and I'll be here. So if you guys do wake up at 3 a.m., feel free to send an email.
Okay. Cool. Anything else on this?
Once it's launched, is there any plans to notify the media or try to get
publicity? We're going to, as long as it's still going on, we were going to put a table at the farmer's market and staff that and say, hey, we've got this thing going on, have it on the website, announce it at city council, put it in the city manager memo, put it in the newsletter, and then Patrick is usually pretty interested in those types of community involvement things, so we're hoping that he would want to write something about it, and then participate more in, like, the living history nights that the area does.
We don't have a third walking tour for the two 21st century houses in the district?
Nope. We're working on it, though. We had talked about, because SHPO just opened up options to do mid-century surveys and get CLG grant for that. And so we were thinking, at some point, when we're done inventorying all of our existing really old real estate, then maybe we would do a mid-century modern for the whole city and see what we've got. Because it seems like in pockets in Bolton and pockets in Robinwood, we've got a handful of those really awesome mid-century modern houses, and it'd be cool to get those on a map, even if it's not a walking map.
You guys, have you ever seen that? Do you guys do the thing like Oregon City does? So do you know about Oregon City's, all their historic properties are, have this great sheet that has, like, what kind of composite and stuff like that? Is that something you guys haven't done?
We use all of the Clackamas County.
Oh, info. Yeah, no, it was Oregon City did it. But it's, you know, like, my house is on it too. But I don't know if that's something that you guys have ever done.
We haven't. I mean, we did surveys, and we have information about each property based on the survey, but we just use Clackamas County's inventory page that typically has a picture of the property, when it was made, who built it.
Oh, and that's similar. Yeah. Oh, okay. I was just curious for my own. Sorry. Oh, yeah. The fly talks. Sorry.
I'm allowing it. Do you think, for people who don't use QR codes, that SHPO would entertain buying, like, WillametteWalkingTour.com or something for a redirect, just to make it easier to find on the website?
So, I doubt it, but okay. We are going to theoretically have a link on the main page of the city's website.
Okay.
So instead of it being buried within the planning and then the neighborhood and then the historic stuff, we're going to have, like, historic Willamette icon. Just like they have a waterfront plan icon on the front. So we'll theoretically take up one of those spaces.
Great. Cool. Anything else on this? Or do we want to talk about code? Let's move on to code. So we had accidentally started down this path, but you said that we have 25 in front of us.
Yes.
And if we want to talk about chapter 50, is it 50 or 52?
58.
58. We'll just take notes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, and I can figure out where the internet is on here and then get the code open too if we want to talk about a different chapter.
Okay.
But there are a number of things in this chapter that are inconsistent compared to other chapters, and one of them being this is more of a design chapter and how you lay out your house and how you design your house and how you build your house and what materials you use for additions or new construction. And then we've got a couple sections that are duplicative of chapter 85, which is our land division chapter. And we've got a couple things, and it's under design standards, but then it talks about dividing your property. And if that's going to stay in here, I think it should be in a different section. And then we don't regulate, going to the chapter 58 stuff, we don't regulate painting of houses in the district other than to color, like you can't have an all white house with white trim. But in the commercial district, we require a design review for painting. And it's a type 1 design review, but type 1 design reviews have to go before you as a HRB board to recommend approval to the deciding body, which is the planning manager. And then it's a $200-$250 fee for that, plus a pre-app, which is $350. And then you have staff on our end has to write two separate staff reports, one for the HRB, one for the planning manager. And then all at the end of the day, there's no paint palette to measure from, so we're just saying use Sherwin-Williams historic paint line or Home Depot's historic paint line. So those types of things, even though that's chapter 55, it's touched on chapter 58. So in the chapter 25, if any of the design standards for type 1 or type 2 design review doesn't make any sense, then we should note that as well. But staff hasn't come across too many issues in chapter 25, but we do a lot of residential stuff and we're in this code a lot. So if there's anything that doesn't make sense, we should probably note it. I think that there was confusion about retaining of resources at the hearing for 4th Street House. What is the resource? Because theoretically, we're looking at the outside of the house, and we want everything to be historic looking and consistent with the neighborhood. But they could go in and gut the entire inside of the house, and there's nothing stopping them from doing that. And then if you take the walls down and an interior board falls down, that's a material. So then you have to preserve that, but you never would have seen it. So is that considered part of that historic material? Is that not considered part of that historic material? So that was one of the reasons why it went back before you as a brand new application. So maybe a definition would be helpful, because there really aren't any in our code. So, any of you guys want to lead this discussion? This is going to be the Jenny show.
That case was real interesting, and I'm still somewhat troubled by that one. Before that, who knows?
I'm not sure that having a closer definition would have prevented any of the events that occurred in that specific instance.
As we look at making changes, since I've done a lot of code writing and code arguing through the years for various things, we should be looking back at the purpose statement and maybe amending the purpose statement. So if there are things that the current purpose statement doesn't get to that we are trying to deal with in our regulations, it should be dealt with at least tangentially in the purpose statement.
Yeah, because we can't rely on the purpose statement as code for regulation.
Right. However, it can sometimes be considered when trying to figure out what a code standard really means or what it's intended to do. One of the things that I think is, that's important to me, and I think is important to a lot of the people who live within the Willamette Historic District, is the land division pattern. It is one of the few areas of the city that has alleys. It has a fairly consistent lotting pattern, and that really gives it a lot of its character. I'm not sure that the purpose statement really brings that out.
Right.
And the lotting pattern and the presence of alleys dictate some of the design standards with regard to not having garages facing avenues and taking access from alleys whenever possible.
Well, then what would you change? Have the purpose statement have to be completely rewritten?
Not completely rewritten, but I think maybe maybe add another purpose.
So under 25070C6. So this is the one that talks about new lot configurations. If we want to keep that in here, it probably shouldn't be under supplemental design standards,
right.
And we should have a lot configuration section. Or take this entire piece and put it in Chapter 85. Because if you're going to do a land division in the Willamette area, I guarantee you the planner isn't necessarily going to look at Chapter 25. They're going to look at the requirements in 85, which require perpendicular lines at the intersection of the street, or the front property line on the street. And then they're going to go from there. And you could either take this language and put it in 85 under historic divisions, or you can have a divisions chapter or section in this chapter and reference in 85. And make sure that the people go to those chapters. Because right now, you can do a lot division and never, there's no requirement to address chapter 25. All the requirements are addressed in 85. And they're doing code cleanup now. I think that's going to go to council here pretty soon, if it hasn't already. So they talked about doing that, like moving it and adding the reference and stuff, but they figured you guys would need to have input on that. So we took it out of that big packet. So we're thinking we're going to have just the historic chapters recommendation from the HRB packet moving to council for code revisions. Sometime.
So that does sound like a good thing to address. What are you looking for us to do, discuss tonight and sign on to a letter later, or?
It's a scenario of, like, we can discuss it tonight, just open your eyes to possibilities, and then as we need items to talk about in upcoming meetings, if we don't have hearings and this dry spell continues, then we are going to start drafting some code language. And basically, I'll take all the notes and things that you say, draft up a new draft, and then bring it to you guys, and then we can wordsmith that draft.
Okay.
So that would be kind of how the direction we would go. But it's only, this is like filler stuff, unless you guys want to make it a priority.
Well, I don't want to let too much time go if we're having this conversation now. If we don't, excuse me, if we don't make the recommendation for like another 6 months.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's put that in the notes.
I kind of like having it in both sections, having it in the historic district as well as in 85 referencing this section of the code in the district. Because if it's just in 85 and there's not as much reference to the purpose and the significance of the historic district, I think there's maybe not enough context.
Yeah.
So I like the idea of having another section that deals with lot creation, lot modifications.
Yeah, because we've got a section in here that talks about home orientation, so we could always move that into that section as well. So when you're creating new lots, you can't change the way that the house is oriented on the property if there's an existing house. You can't make what was a skinny lot into if it was a corner lot.
I think that orientation section, which is right above that lot configuration one.
Just talking about.
If that's the one you're talking about. I think it's fine where it is, as a kind of a general design standard, which is what that happens to be titled.
Well, yeah, that one is talking about where you can put solar panels. I misspoke. I meant the like the setbacks and the straight lines for construction kind of stuff. Where is that? You might not have a diagram for that. Never mind. Figure 4. So it's 25070C1-4. That one's talking about setbacks and fronts of homes and that sort of thing. You could easily put lot division information under that section rather than have it go from setbacks to 6 and then going to building heights and the type of house. So you could just make that from C1 to 6 all its own section. Thank you. Or since it's 10 to 8, you guys could take these home and email me.
Yeah.
If you guys are going to take a lot of time of silence and working on it, the people listening to the tape are going to be really wondering what we're doing.
We're reading, for the record.
Well, one of the other questions I've often had when I've read through this is the definition of scale and massing, which is vague at best.
Yes.
And yet it can definitely determine how much you can add on to a house. And there's really no definition of it. As well as, you know, we've got a lot of these tiny houses with empty lots next to them. And, you know, what's going to happen to those tiny houses if there's going to have a... I think there needs to be a clarification on what massing and scale is in general.
Danny?
Yes.
Where's that located?
There's a couple mentions of scale, but it's in 25.070.
Okay.
There's one for alterations and then one for new construction. And it just reads things like historic districts defining characteristics include a discernible aesthetic rhythm of massing, scale, and city. Or that's siding.
Rhythm is not defined either. That's something that staff has struggled with because that's also in other chapters in the code.
Yeah. It's also compatible in scale and mass to adjacent properties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty big.
So I can see what other jurisdictions have as their definitions for that and provide some examples that we could possibly pull from.
Similarly, has any other section of code changed what they're doing around new sidewalks? Because the exemption in here for new sidewalks is fairly narrow and both says unless it's to comply with the ADA, but it should also be compatible in location, pattern, spacing, and dimensions with existing sidewalks, which mostly is contradictory.
Yeah.
Because what we have is mostly not compliant.
Right.
But what we build obviously should be.
Yeah.
So if there have been other changes, maybe we should reflect them here.
I'll look at public work standards and see if they've got special language in there for historic neighborhoods and see if we could drop that language in.
Because the presentation about a year ago made it sound like there might actually be money to actually do that work, so let's make it one of the easier exemptions.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I'm not speaking for everybody. So you've got notes. I think we've all kind of started thinking again. Should we take this home and at our next meeting, when we have another meeting, bring them with our margin notes?
Or you can email them to me if you've got specific notes typed up. If that's easier to just copy and paste the code into Word and strike it out that way. Whatever is easier for you guys, if we've got general discussion for the next meeting and I have notes that I can draft up some sort of ordinance format with strike-throughs and adds and that kind of thing, then that should guide our discussion a little bit better.
Okay.
We can also add Chapter 58 to that as well.
One of the most basic issues is to do to your wrist.
Carrying the cat litter upstairs.
Don't ask. Happen to notice that.
I know.
But I think one issue that needs to be addressed is the one that we dealt with on the Pernisco house on 6th, and where they addressed the scale of adjacent homes and such as is in the code. But Danny had an issue throughout the review on that, and then I think your concern was based on how the code used to be, of there not being another Foursquare, Portland Foursquare in the neighborhood. And Danny was concerned throughout about, in the hearing, about it not reflecting another home style that is in the neighborhood. And that isn't in the code anymore. Yeah. And so they addressed it as far as scale, and I had felt that they had done an okay job with that, but I think that's still a big issue that we should revisit and see if there is a change of heart on that one.
Well, it goes to the same, that same mm-hmm. paragraph. It's the, what is it, rhythm and aesthetic rhythm and discernment? I mean, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
Discernible rhythm, and then complement and support the district. I, you know, it depends on how you define it. It's not defined. It's just how we want to define it.
There are a number of terms and standards and requirements in our code that are not in our definition. So when we try to explain it, we have to go with what the current administration thinks it's going to be, and that's constantly changing. So if it's a planning manager decision, a community development director interpretation, a city council interpretation, all of those people change hands. So if it's in our code and there's no question about it, then it's easy to point to a definition. So I think that a lot of these terms should, we should add a definition and put it in chapter 2 with all of our other definitions.
Well, because we have in there, it said, you know, the infill building shall relate to and strengthen the defining characteristics, including architectural style. But there is no definition of what the architectural style is. Mm-hmm. So if we're talking about a time period of style, someone could build a log cabin and claim that there was a log cabin being built in the 1920s, which there were, but that would definitely not fit with the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Style design.
So add definitions to the chapters that we want to touch. Chapter 2, did you say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other thoughts other than this is something that we're going to be working on for a little while?
Yeah, it will. These are always a bear to deal with.
And this is the hard way of doing it, too. I just want to throw that out there, where you're just looking at the code blankly, and nobody's given you any sort of direction or guidance to just look at an ordinance format of, these are the code changes we're proposing, and see if you guys like them. I'm just trying to get a sense of where you guys were at before I start bringing you one of those types of documents.
Was there anything else other than the division line that came out of the big stack for us to look at from council?
Not from chapter 25. There were a number of changes in chapter 58 and some that are being made, but they're simple, like under the parking exemption, we're no longer, staff wants to include bike parking as an option that you have to do. It's not an exemption. So, because right now there's no bike parking anywhere on Main Street, and if you are anywhere around there and you have a bike, you're either setting it in the middle of the sidewalk, chaining it to a sign, or walking way down to the end of a sidewalk to wherever there is a bike stand and locking it up there. So we want new construction and additions to current construction to have a bike parking section. And I mean, you're still exempt from parking until Public Works says otherwise, but bike parking is easy and there's space for it. With 12-foot sidewalks, there should be plenty of space for it.
Although with all those restaurant tables, sometimes there's not.
Yeah.
Well, some of the tables shouldn't be where they are.
Yeah, we don't have 12-foot sidewalks yet.
Yeah. And on one side of the road, we've got 11-foot sidewalks. On the other side, we've got sections of 11-foot sidewalks and 10-foot sidewalks, and then we've got sections of 4-foot sidewalks.
Yeah.
So once that is done and approved with council, I'll provide you guys with the packet for just the historic chapter changes. It's like adding a word where they forgot a word and the code requirements, and you're reading it as though there is a "the" in there, even though there's not. So that kind of cleanup was what we did for those.
Will you send it to us before the next meeting so mm-hmm. we can read it?
Yeah.
Not during the meeting?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. So next on the agenda is business from the Historic Review Board. But before we get to that, I'd like to entertain moving agenda item number 3, which was left undone, down to this time in the order of business to see if we can, with the addition of an additional member, perhaps approve those meeting notes. Dating the meeting on April 17th, which you were at.
Yes.
We did not approve the minutes, or the notes, excuse me.
Okay.
But we can put them up on the screen and you can glance through them and maybe we can take another vote or take a vote.
Yeah.
You don't even have to put them on the screen. Great.
So we did the January, so we're just missing April.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like at the end of that meeting it was more of a general discussion as people were packing up and leaving rather than anyone officially ending the meeting.
I agree.
Yeah. The meeting was adjourned.
Yeah.
You took your gavel with you.
No, I didn't. I passed it to you.
I didn't have it. Don't scare me.
I believe I left it in your trustworthy hands.
And how'd you get it back?
It lives in this room.
Well, I wasn't there, but I don't think he's the kind of guy that would take a gavel.
It's kind of wimpy. I mean, if you're going to get a gavel, get like one of the big ones.
Yeah, that's the one the judge likes.
I bet. It's dainty. Well, Danny's reviewing any other business that we would want to discuss under business of the Historic Review Board?
Yeah, a little bit, and I'm glad Ray is still here. Just like we want to talk just briefly about some stuff that the Main Street group is looking at as far as signage.
Okay. Danny, have you had a chance to review?
Yes. I make a motion to submit. These are good, yeah. Make a motion to go ahead and approve them.
Great. Earlier, I asked for a correction.
Okay.
That I did not adjourn the meeting since I left early.
Yeah, so I crossed out.
Oh, yes, it was crossed out.
Yeah, okay, great. So there's a motion. There's a second.
A second.
Great, motion second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain?
Aye.
Okay, 3-0-2. Great, fantastic. Thank you all. Okay, so signage, Jerry.
Ray.
And hey, Danny, I've never met you in person, by the way. My name's Ray Gordon. I used to talk to you all the time when I was at the county tourism department.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, with your, you know, for events.
Yep.
But anyway, yeah, so you just want me to talk about the signage we're working on?
Yeah, the Main Street Design Committee is looking for grants and talking to the city about some signage in the Main Street commercial area. And Ray is the coordinator for the Main Street program, so she can explain it.
Yeah, so we're looking at, like, you know, things to tell people where the restaurants are, where the wineries are, just kind of get a little bit more traffic flowing around the area, and also make it more apparent where the water is and whatnot in the historical district. So there's a Travel Oregon is the state tourism office, and they have a grant that I'm going to be working on. And I'm already working with the city about getting them, already met with Jeff about some signage that Milwaukee has, a very similar signage that points to the Letting Library and all that stuff. So we're gonna model it after what Milwaukee has. And turns out that the city facilities could make those signs. So I'm waiting for a price quote from them so that I can put it in towards to the Travel Oregon, the grant that they have. But also in addition, I'm gonna roll in something for the highway and talking to ODOT about that as well. I know ODOT has that thing. They're gonna be making a big change in the 205, so the thing that we do would be temporary until they redo that whole area. So
And are you looking for a letter of support from us, or are you looking for...
Not at this time, but I will be, yeah. I definitely would be.
So, Ray, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but basically what we'd be looking at on 205 is to get ODOT to have what is, I think, always a brown sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, I talked to Jody about that this morning.
Willamette National... National Historic District, whatever, and then Willamette Main Street or something. Mm-hmm. On 205 before the off ramps.
And then the McDonald's sign.
Yeah. Maybe.
And the hotel sign.
At least on a temporary basis it may be until they do the widening.
And
because
what's cool
we'd
is
be
that?
Looking to add it to an existing signpost.
And then also, I talked to somebody at ODOT, and there's a possibility of having it covered, the more permanent sign, when they change it, having it covered under their whole plan. So trying to kind of weasel my way in there a little bit.
And then as you come down the 10th Street ramps, there would be something that points towards the historic district and the commercial district, and then at Willamette Falls Drive and 10th Street. And then
where the problem usually lies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it would not be specific as to businesses, but it might say restaurants, since all of the restaurants are to the west from that point. And, you know, if there are other general categories. And we have a couple of wineries that are not within the commercial district, but are on Pete's Mountain, and then out further on Willamette Falls Drive that we're wanting to direct people to. The kinds of, you know, the signs are not for the locals. The signs are for people that are coming from afar and are trying to find their way to basic services. And I guess I experienced some of that last week when I was in Alaska pulling into cities and not knowing which way to go, and so it's kind of handy to have that.
And then also, since, I mean, people are using that as a bypass to go to Oregon City, or, you know, hopefully that will catch people to, like, let me have dinner first, you know, and not just use it as a second freeway. Yeah.
So Ray is pursuing grants to pay for the signs, and then permission from ODOT and from City Public Works to do the signage. But since it relates to both the commercial district and the historic residential district, we thought we should bring it up to this us year group.
Well, let's, between this meeting and our next meeting, go ahead and draft a letter, even if it's not needed yet, because I prefer to have it done so that there's not a fire drill when you've got something coming up.
Which is always how it works.
So,
this is due on Friday. We meet on Tuesday.
Yeah. So
do I send you...
If you would send it to me and Jennifer,
okay.
We will line at it in the meeting, because that's always the best way to do things.
Okay.
And then have it done at our next meeting so that, again, when you need it, it's done.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's an amazing concept.
Planning.
All right.
It's kind of like kids telling their mom when they need help with the project.
The night before.
Yeah.
I mean, conceptually, are we okay with the letter? I mean, we haven't seen it yet, but we're okay with that. Okay, great. So we'll do that at our next meeting. Any other business?
I guess something that hasn't come before this committee before, maybe Ray, you can help me out with this too, but the Willamette Methodist Church was looking at making modifications to...
They were here in April.
The church, okay. So I missed that was one.
Yeah.
So they presented
the whole concept plan of, like, the end goal and what they originally want, and then the HRB submitted a letter to their Diamonds of the Rough grant in support of the work.
Which they did not get, is the news obtained.
Bummer.
Yep. But they're still plugging away to see what they can...
Yeah, they asked for a pre-application conference fee waiver for the design review, because the fee for the design review is $100, but the pre-application conference is $350. So they are asking for a fee waiver because they're a nonprofit, but I don't know if that decision has been made yet. So that would be way above me to make that call. So it may be that they do their pre-app, which is good for 18 months, and then they work on more grant funding. They've got at least the design approved, so when they get it, they can just immediately start the work instead of using the grant funds for the permitting process. I'm not really sure what they're planning on doing yet, but I think it'll come down to what the fee looks like for that meeting.
Okay.
And sorry to go back. When's your next meeting? The
third Tuesday of...
Same as our Main Street Design meeting.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, because the application's due August 9th, so I'll send you what you need. So that's still... It's not a total fire drill.
No.
It'll be July 17th.
We need it at that point. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. So report from staff?
I have nothing to report other than we have another meeting on the 17th of July, as long as people are going to be available. Sounds like we have items to talk about.
As far as I know, I'll be here.
Great. I will be here.
So we haven't had any applications come through, but we do have a pre-app coming up for some possible modifications to the Icon building. But given the amount of work that they would have to go through permitting-wise and land-use-wise prior to getting approval to doing the work, I'm not sure if they're going to want to do that or if they're going to go back to what they originally want. I'm not sure what's driving the desire to change. And maybe the changes are cheaper on them and they want to cut costs where they can, but after going through a six-month permitting process through you guys and the Planning Commission, because they were the final decision body, I'm not sure they're going to want to continue. So they may change their mind and go back to what they're approved for and move on.
Icon Building, excuse me, is that the one in Levington?
Yes.
Yeah, I keep driving by there and thinking, what's happening there?
Yeah.
PGE's been set up there for like 2 weeks. So.
Yeah, they were doing foundation work and digging and a bunch of flat work, and then they have a ton of underground stuff that has to happen.
Mm.
Like they have to retain their stormwater, because what they were originally approved for stormwater doesn't meet our code standards today. So since they keep changing their plans, the next last set of plans came in after the change. So now they have to change to what they were planning to do. So I believe they have to have a big catchment system underneath the building. So they're having to do a lot of that type of stuff. Okay. And then, like I said before the meeting, they're only approved to do framing as of now, because some of the modifications that they're doing have nothing to do with the foundation of the building, but they affect the siding and some of the window configurations. So they won't be able to get a framing inspection until we get this issue resolved.
Have you heard anything about the other office building that we approved?
So
near the Cider House,
they were ramped up, ready to go and build, and then they had some major personal setbacks with health, and by the second Planning Commission meeting, one of the applicants, I believe, had already started chemotherapy, and I don't know if that stopped it, but we haven't really heard anything since they were approved. So we're not sure if they're going to build. It seemed like they were ramping back up again and talking to engineering and working on the site and cleaning it up. So I don't know if they're going to come back anytime soon, but they haven't talked to me at all. I was hoping that everybody's health got better and then they were good to go and they're going to build this building and it's going to look great, but it hasn't happened yet.
Since we're early, if I can jump back a little bit, just on something you said about, actually both Icon and that building, and back to our code amendments. And my own experience of building my house is the lack of involvement from Public Works Engineering in a historic design review or a commercial design review until later on in the process. Mm-hmm. But we had surprises on our application that did not come up during the pre-app or the historic design review, and it sounds like it's the same happening with ICON and with this other developer. There was no mention of need for rain gardens and street improvements, or no specificity with regard to street improvements for my place. And I know that ICON had some major issues with regard to utilities. And I don't know if it needs to be included in our design review process or the code amendments, or it just needs to be grabbing someone by the collar in Public Works and saying, hey, get in here for these pre-apps and let people know what they're going to be facing with regard to these applications, so that things don't pop up a year down the line.
Yeah, a lot of the process with engineering has changed in the last couple months. So they are sitting into a lot more pre-apps, and they are providing written notes now that they didn't before, and they are more involved with the building side of things. Now that building permits are paperless, we have a lot more contact, I guess. We're like not talking to each other, but we're talking to the applicant, and it's all documented in the permitting software. So I think stuff is changing over there, and eventually we're going to have an all-staff retreat. Hopefully we're playing paintball or doing something fun, and then we're all going to like learn to work together again, because there's a lot of us versus them going on in a lot of departments, and we're trying to get rid of that.
My own experience in building our house was great working with planning and great working with building, but I cannot say anything nice about engineering and Public Works, and some of the personnel have moved on elsewhere.
Yes.
Which is a good thing for West Lynn. And I'm not a rookie at the process. I may have been a rookie to a certain extent in West Lynn, but I had never run into an engineering department in any other city or county that was as absent until late in the process as I had with my house. And I've heard similar things from others.
Yeah. So like for a residential pre-app in the historic district, our pre-apps are really short, but they paid for an hour. So we're typically, planning goes for about 30 minutes, and then neighborhood association has an opportunity to talk, and then we do questions, and then we don't want to really end because they paid for an entire hour. So that's usually when we bring in somebody from the building department or Public Works and say, hey, what's going to be required here if they get approved way down the line, so that they have some sort of general idea, and then they provide notes so that it's not the Public Works notes at this point, I don't believe, are posted online with like the planning stuff, but it is a public record document. So they can go back and say, we only were told this much information. So if anything changes later on, we can all go back and look at what we discussed. Some changes are going to be out of our control, like if the EPA changes some major regulation. But for the most part, everything should be written down and very consistent. And we're hoping that it's going to get better for everyone else's sake who wants to build here.
Good. Great. With that, it's 8:15. It's 8:16 or 17 even. So let's adjourn.
Good.
Barring anybody else's thoughts. Adjourn.